If you'll take your scriptures and if you will open them up before you and keep them in your lap, I encourage you to keep your copy of the scriptures with you that you might become more and more familiar with it, and where necessary, perhaps jot a note here or there to aid you in your own Bible study and reading. And turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 27 through 30. John 12, 27 through 30. As we come to a verse which at first glance may seem to be troublesome, and we will seek to untangle the knot which it might present to us as we study it together. John chapter 12, verses 27 through 30. Listen, for it is God who speaks to us. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word and the hearing of His people. The reading this morning I kept fairly brief, for we have an opportunity to take a look at the complex person of Christ, to take a look at the incarnate Word who was not merely God and not merely man, but God and man. He was the God-man. And that presents to us a complexity which we are only able to unravel to a point. But so much of our understanding of the Scriptures, so much of our understanding of our own calling in life, so much of our understanding of our duty as Christians, and certainly of our rendering of worship, depends upon our right view of and understanding of the person of Christ. That it's important that we understand the revelation that's given to us as it reflects upon the purpose of Christ and the person of Christ. And John, we know, has particularly been emphasizing the incarnation, the Word of God which existed in eternity and became flesh. And so now at the approach of the Greeks, the Gentiles, Jesus has now announced that His hour has arrived. And we covered last week the times when Jesus said it was not yet His time, but now His time has arrived. And His response to that revelation is to say, now my soul is troubled. Perhaps you've taken a vacation at the beach and you've gone down to where as the tide goes out and the sand is wet and you've created your own castle, or you've built some sort of a fortress or a moat or whatever it might be. Maybe you took the buckets and filled them up and just turned them upside down. My family friend of my wife's family is an architect, and he would go down to the beach. I've seen some pictures where he built elaborate castles, works of art, I think. And those castles, as they stood there, people would come by and marvel at them. Some of them were very large. He would spend hours making these sand castles on the beach. But then after a period of time, you might also remember that the tide rolls back in. At first, it's just a little bit of foam that begins to touch the edge of your castle. And as a child, you always think that you can beat that back a little bit by digging your moat a little bit deeper, or maybe making a second moat to catch the water before it even gets to your final moat. But ultimately, we know that you can't hold back the ocean, and it does come. And as it comes, you watch with dread as that first little bit of water starts to lap at the edge of your sandcastle, and then eventually it will consume the whole castle. But it's that first touch at the edge of your creation when you realize what is to come. Jesus is now in the twilight of His earthly ministry, and His human ministry, as it were. And He is observing like a shadow that comes across your own lawn as the day begins to come to an end. He is observing a shadow that is stretching out and is just now beginning to touch Him. As He begins to feel the coolness of that shadow of the cross, if you will allow me that figurative language, it begins to trouble Him in some sense. And He says, now my heart is troubled. That word troubled is, if you will allow me to to rely here upon the tense of that verb and tell you what that is. It is the perfect passive indicative. Now, all that means is that it was not a trouble that he did not know before. It is a mighty disturbance, but it is a disturbance that has long been present and is now becoming intense. It wasn't as if Jesus had never given a thought to the cross. We know that all through His ministry, He's been telling them where it is that He needs to go, where what His mission is, what His purpose is, for what reason God put Him upon in their midst and on the earth, that He might suffer death at the cross for their sin. He knew that. But now, at this moment, we find that the awareness of the cross is becoming intense and creating a great disturbance within Him, as the cross now is in plain sight. Do you hear the pain and the dread in the words of Christ? Now my heart is troubled. If we dwell on this very long, it probably will trouble us as well. That Jesus is now saying, now my heart is troubled. When we think about His death on the cross, and we do think about it, and we do talk about it, and at our Lord's table, when we celebrate communion, we certainly are reminded of it and we discuss it. But we prefer to think of the cross in the sense of it was His duty, and that He had a divine resolve from God Almighty to go to the cross and do what had to be done. We like to think of it in terms of duty. We like to think of the suffering of Jesus as somehow being tempered by His divine power. That yes, we know He suffered, but to the extent of which He suffered, we like to think that somehow in His divine power as the God-man, that suffering was somehow cut a little short, or that it was tempered, that somehow it was blunted and the force of the suffering wasn't as extreme as it might appear to be. We ought to also focus on the great sense of loss that suffered by God as He gave His only begotten Son that whoever would believe should have eternal life. Certainly God experienced a great sense of loss. So when we think of the cross, we like to think of it in these terms, which are dramatic and which are significant, each one of them, for truly God was, that Jesus was divine and God did give His only Son. And surely Jesus did go to the cross with a great sense of duty and obedience to the command of God. So we want to answer Jesus when He says, my heart is troubled. We want to say somewhere inside, yes, but your God. But you're God. You're at the finish line now. It's almost over. The mission is complete. The victory is at hand. And we want to focus on that. But John has, according to the will and the counsel of God, thought that it was good for us to know that Jesus was troubled at this prospect. If we could have but gazed into the eyes of this man, Jesus, who was God, but yet also man, and this man who calmed storms by the power of God, who healed the blind by the power of God, who had raised the dead and knew the Father in a way that none other had, who had unquestioning faith and resolve, we would have seen at this moment, I am convinced in the eyes of Christ, a great distress as He uttered, now is my soul troubled. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is complex. Again, not merely God, nor is He merely man, but He is the God-man. And John is emphasizing